Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Leighton Branding. I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. And in this episode, I will be talking about data visualization practices, part two. And the guiding principle behind this episode is what I'm going to call the graphic. Now, just to get started very quickly, the graphic is my little take, my concept on the gestalt principle of a visual. So I try to frame data visualization in terms of graphics. Now, what do I mean by graphics? I mean examples are maps, trees, graphs, to use some famous examples, dashboards. Basically, I use the term graphic rather than visual or image because I think graphic foregrounds the concept of a structure and of information that needs to be displayed throughout a visual image. So, just to briefly lay out why I'm doing this. If this were about visual rhetoric or about image editing or about graphic design, I'd probably start with one of the fundamental principles or baseline units of graphic design as the image. But because I view data visualization as a cousin or maybe the offspring of graphic design, with a little bit more foundational information science behind it, I think graphic better captures this. So why graphic? Why not image or something along those lines? First, as I said, I think graphic captures the structural nature of data visualization. It captures that you're going to have to, in some ways, use a structure to create an image. Second, I think using the term graphic is useful because it helps to frame that there's data and information that is being not only visualized, but that is also being turned into a useful image. So by foregrounding graphic, I can better capture the idea that that information and data is going to be turned into some sort of image. And then third, I think graphic gets a little bit more at some of the scientific parts and the structural and technical parts of data visualization that perhaps graphic design doesn't necessarily invoke. Even though, of course, graphic design can involve some of those things, I think the idea of an image or design doesn't necessarily capture it. So the foundational principle and unit of this episode is going to be the graphic. Some substitutes that you could put in for graphic might be an image, might be visual. And I'm using graphic as a gestalt principle. That means that essentially there are multiple overlapping components. It's an emergent kind of property, and it allows me to foreground graphic so that I can touch on more specific principles for the next episode. So, for instance, typography, color, other things like that. When designing a graphic, you have to then think of five fundamental important properties about that graphic. First, what kind of audience are you trying to reach? In other words, whether you're going to be choosing a pie graph, a bar graph, whether you're going to be using some sort of Gplotly, some sort of J3, whatever visual you decide to sort of touch upon. You have to think about the audience and the purpose, and you have to select an appropriate visualization for that audience. So one of the most important things is that all information, all captions, all figures need to be labeled properly, and I always recommend staying on the simple side. So if your audience isn't comfortable with interactive graphics or isn't comfortable with interactive maps, stick with the non-interactive side of them. So that's the first fundamental principle. And the second fundamental principle of graphics sort of comes out of that. You need to select what you see as the best fit for the data. And so don't let the graphic choose the data, but rather let the data choose the graphic. And so what I mean by this is you need to search through your data, your Excel spreadsheet, your text document, your CSV file, whatever kind of data you have, and you need to read through it, look through it carefully. And one of the things that's often not sort of considered a lot in data visualization is the amount of time it takes to literally just sit there and think about the data. So that's the second part that's important to the concept of a graphic. Now let's go into the next three, which are a little bit more structural. Once you have your data, and once you've thought about it, and you've determined your purpose, so again, I'm sort of brushing aside or maybe backgrounding some of the most important parts of audience and what's your purpose and trying to reach that audience with your purpose, so, and you've already had your data. So again, data has been collected, audience is known, purpose is also known. So those three things are backgrounded here. So what do you do next? Well, I'm going to draw here on a certain kind of approach, and I'm going to take this from Jonathan Schwabish and Severino Rebecca's beautiful chart known as, that's called the graphic continuum. And the graphic continuum basically has six main categories that are all interrelated. And this goes back to my Gestalt principle. The graphic, thus, is an emergent kind of property. And so, drawing on the graphic continuum, there are six main categories or components that can comprise a graphic. Of course, there are others, and these six categories, six components, are just meant to be sort of preliminary and allow us just to better understand the nature of the graphic from a theoretical and pragmatic perspective. So the first one is generally sort of your general comparison categories, such as like the bar, column, stacked column, paired column, paired bar, mosaic, waterfall, column with points, pyramid, triangular columns. These are all from the graphic continuum. And so this is your fundamental base category, and then there are offshoots of all of these. One of the offshoots might be geospatial kind of graphic, so a map, cartogram, a flow chart, flow map, a bubble map, a point map, sort of all the different kinds of structures that can come out of a geospatial representation in graphic form. Then you also have part to whole, which is less related to geospatial and more related to trying to chunk different amounts of information and graphics. So, for instance, this might be a pie chart, a donut chart, an arc, sunburst, tree map, as they say, triangle tree map. I've actually really never seen an effective triangle tree map, but that's just me. Then the fourth category would be relationship, or I think of it as relational. This might be a scatter plot, a bubble, parallel coordinates, a word tree, chord, a hive, a network, a tree graph, a radical or radial Venn diagram, things like that. Then the fifth is representation through time, such as with the line graph, sparkle lines, horizontal, stacked area, stream, general timeline, flow chart, things like that. Things that are trying to represent not relationships, but time and the unfurling or the unfolding of time. Then you have a distribution. The last category is distribution, which is a set of occurrence and frequency, things like histogram, stock chart, and then a fan chart. The most common one we get with distribution kind of charts is the histogram. And so those are the six fundamental sort of categories of the graphic, as I like to think of them. And now that I've laid out the six fundamental categories of sort of the graphic continuum, I want to actually return to audience and purpose and data. And so this is back to that iterative process from part one. Once you've found your data and you've analyzed it and you've clarified your purpose and you've found, decided upon, or had an audience assigned to you if you're in the classroom or working for a manager, you have to think about which one of these types of charts, graphs, principles, graphics you want to choose and try to develop into a meaningful, rhetorically savvy image. And this is how I get into this language of the image, because the graphic, in terms of data visualization, I believe, is the baseline unit. And only when you've chosen a particular kind of structure and you have your data and your audience and your purpose clarified, can that graphic turn into a rhetorically savvy data visualization. And so graphic is the unit that allows data visualizations, the noun, a thing that you work with, to sort of get off the ground. And that's important because I think to have a base unit of data visualization allows us to talk a little bit more specifically about things like color, typography, structure, typeface, all of that kind of stuff. And so I'm going to end here with some very quick advice, just a couple of important points to think about now that we've gotten through the graphic as the foundational principle. One of the most important things that you want to remember is to actually go through these steps and write them down and keep a log and a record of it. So the first thing you want to do is when you're searching through a problem is to actually write down, identify the problem, and identify the data set or the set of information that you're going to use. Second, then you're going to store it and attempt to structure it. So figure out whether you want to store it as an Excel file, a CSV, a text file, something maybe perhaps more complicated. If you're going to store it in Tableau or store it on Amazon Web Services, however you're going to do it. And then try to actually write down who your audience members are going to be, even if they're an algorithm or whether they're a group of business people, whether it's your teacher or professor. Identify what kind of things are going to be possibly aesthetically pleasing to them. You could even ask them. And so once you get those things identified, written down, so it's important to actually write these things down as a document, try and make it professional looking, as I ask my students in my class, as I'll ask all of you, please write these things down in a coherent document. And then you go through and try and brainstorm which possible graphic structures you're going to use for your data visualization. And so that's where I'm going to end. And my broader moment here is I want to remind everybody that it's always important to identify what you think of the base unit of whatever kind of analysis you're working on. I think of the base unit of data visualization as the graphic. Other people are free to disagree with me, and it's just simply a way that I understand data visualization practices. But it's important to think about what's sort of the fundamental unit of each of your respective activities. So what's the, I always think about what's the fundamental unit of basketball, right? Probably the dribble or perhaps the shot, and then those two things combine and you can develop sort of complex strategies like that. What's the base unit of football? Probably running the ball. I don't really care about football. I like basketball more. So those are some of those things that I want to sort of leave you with more broadly of trying to identify the base unit of whatever activity you're drawing on. In this case, it's graphic is the base unit for data visualization. All right. So once again, I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. This is Latent Branding. Thank you all for listening. If you want to ask me a couple of questions or have any comments for me, you can email me. My email is johnrobertgallagher@gmail.com. You can also find me at Twitter. My handle is @MereSophistry. Once again, thank you for listening.